Matthew and chapter 11. And before we read, I want to say that I'm planning on beginning a new series. I think there will probably only be 12 or so sermons in the series. It's not a case of working through a book or even through a portion of Scripture. What I've done is identified 12, I suppose, of my favorite verses, evangelistic verses. I want to preach them over the next, 3 months. And the first, verses are found in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. But let's read from verse 25 just to put it into some kind of context. So Matthew chapter 11, starting to read at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And here are the verses that we're going to be looking at. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This next hymn that we're going to sing, as well as the last one, are based on these verses, at least loosely based on these verses. As far as I'm aware, all religions in this world, apart from biblical Christianity, teach a salvation by works. In other words, you have to do certain things, observe religious ceremonies or rites, in order to arrive at some kind of paradise or heavenly dwelling. And their teachers work hard at encourage them to do whatever it is they believe needs to be done. And some churches, those that are not biblically based, teach fundamentally the same thing, a salvation by works. And so you will hear, if you attend such a church, these sort of things being frequently said: go to church, put your money in the offering, be baptized, be kind to your neighbor, keep the commandments of God, and so on and so forth, and you will hopefully go to heaven. It amounts to a go and do religion. And people do go and do in the hope that they will be good enough, or that they will have done enough in order to arrive at the right destination. This was basically the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees when Jesus was walking on the earth. They impressed those who followed them, their disciples, to keep the Torah. That is, the commands of God given at the time of Moses. Keep the Torah and you will go to heaven. But not only did they insist that their disciples keep the Torah, they also insisted that their disciples observe their various applications to the Torah, or what we might call their traditions. And believe me, they had endless applications to the law of God, or to the law of Moses. I mean, God had said, "Don't do any work on the Sabbath." And they said that it meant this and it meant that and so on and so forth. So you could only walk a certain distance, for example, on the Sabbath, before breaking the Sabbath. The trouble was that so many of their disciples or their followers simply found it all too much. They tried to do what they were told, but they just couldn't do everything that was required of them. It was a bit like they had been given 100 tennis balls and they were to try and keep all the balls up in the air by juggling them. Inevitably, some of the balls dropped on the ground. It left so many of them feeling anxious and fearful. It left many thinking that they probably hadn't done enough to get to heaven. And if that is what they thought, they were right. Because you see, nobody can do enough to get to heaven. Can I say that again? Nobody can do enough to get to heaven. Nobody can keep all the commands. Nobody can perform all the religious duties exactly as they are to be performed. No, nobody can be good enough. Well, it was into this context that Jesus spoke these words that we're going to think about this morning. And perhaps for somebody here, they will be just the words that you're longing to hear. Come to me, says Jesus. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus hasn't long begun his earthly ministry. The question is, who is Jesus? Well, John the Baptist has been pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, or as the Christ. In other words, the promised Savior sent by God. And Jesus' Messiahship has been confirmed by various miracles that he has performed. If you turn back to verse 5 of chapter 11, you will read these words. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, he is the Son of God sent to earth. He has come in order to reveal God, but also to show God's way of salvation. And all things have been committed to him by his heavenly Father. We see that at the beginning of verse 27. Jesus is one, you see, who has been invested with tremendous authority, great authority. He can even forgive sins. And that is something that only God can do. But we see him forgiving a man for his sins in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 1 to 7. And, well, you can turn back to that if you want to, or maybe read it later on today. Now, Jesus is fully aware of who he is and the salvation that he has come to bring and is able to give to those who come to him. And so he says what he says in verses 28, 29 and 30. And I won't read these verses again. But I want to emphasize two things from these verses. Jesus says, come to me and follow me. Come to me and follow me. Firstly, come to me. The Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. They said to their disciples, go and do. That was their message, essentially. Go and do. Whereas Jesus said, come. Come to me. Put your trust in me. You see, Jesus knew that salvation was not to be found in doing, in performing religious duties or whatever. Salvation was to be found in him. You see, salvation is to be found not in our doing, but in a person, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the Bible is crystal clear when it says that. We, for example, this is Paul speaking, who are Jews by birth and not simple Gentiles, know that a person is not justified, not saved, in other words, by the works of the law. Ironically, there are so many people who think that they can be saved by doing good, by doing the works of the law. But I think that when people think that is the case, it is because they fail to realize, one, how sinful they are, and two, what God's standards amount to. You see, we all, regardless of who we may be, fall so far short. Jesus doesn't say, go and do. No, he says, come to me. The Apostle Paul impressed upon people in his ministry to come to Christ. Because that is where salvation is to be found. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph, Mary's husband, all those years ago? We read it so often at Christmas. Yet what he said is so important, so significant. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because, what is the next word? He will save his people from their sins. What did the Apostle Peter say on one occasion? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Humankind needed a saviour. If God thought that we could do enough good deeds to get ourselves into heaven, he didn't need to send Jesus. What was the point in sending Jesus into the world to suffer and die upon a cross? It was a wasted mission. But because we can't save ourselves, that is why Jesus came into the world. That is why the apostles repeatedly pointed to Jesus. That is why on this occasion Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, says Jesus. All you who have been striving to keep the commands of God, striving to do good, striving to do all the various religious duties demanded of you in your religion, and are exhausted by all. And know deep down that you have failed in doing all these things miserably. Come unto me, says Jesus. Come unto me, those of you who are exhausted and riddled with guilt and have concluded in your mind that you simply haven't done enough to get into heaven and that the door of heaven is closed to you. Come to me. The invitation is given to all who feel like this. Jesus was actually speaking to Jews. But the New Testament tells us that the invitation is given to Jews and to Gentiles. Indeed, the invitation is given to the worst of sinners. And what's intriguing when we read the Gospels is that it was the worst of sinners that were coming to Jesus. The prostitutes The tax collectors, they were coming to Jesus and receiving his salvation, whereas the religious authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were too proud to come to Jesus. In fact, they didn't feel their need to come to Jesus. Why? Because they thought they were good enough. They'd done enough. They'd performed enough religious duties. And so on and so forth. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You've been striving. You've been doing everything that you can to please God in order that you might get your ticket to heaven, but you're exhausted and you know that you haven't earned your ticket. Come to me, says Jesus, and you can rest from all of that. Because I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you salvation. Now, I'm sure that this illustration will fall down dead to many of you. But let me run with it anyway. If you go to the arcade, you will sometimes find a machine that you can play on with teddy bears inside. The teddy bears are behind the glass, and you put your money in, and you have these little controls, and there is this arm that moves around inside, and the idea is that you try to lift up a teddy bear and then move it above the hole and let go, and so you can take the teddy bear home with you. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Well, imagine a man has been playing on this for hours, and nearly all his money has gone. And he's frustrated, he's annoyed with himself. He thinks he can do it, but actually he can't do it. He's never going to do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. And he's almost at the end of his tether when somebody comes up to him, and in their hand they've got just the teddy bear that he's been trying to acquire. And they say to him, "I've been watching you. And I can see that you've been struggling, and I want to give this to you." Now, I think that this is the picture. It all sounds too good, doesn't it, to be true? I think we automatically seem to think as human beings that we've got to do something in order to acquire something. And that salvation, entrance into heaven, is such a big thing that surely it can't just be a gift from God, but it is. It is a remarkable and wonderful gift from God that is to be received from Jesus in faith. You see, as we've already said, it's Jesus who has the authority to forgive sins, to wipe the slate clean. Jesus died upon the cross to make that forgiveness possible. It's Jesus who is able to grant life, eternal life. Jesus said, actually, I'm not sure that it was Jesus who said it. Ultimately, of course, it was. But in John's Gospel, we read, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. That whoever believes in him shall not die eternally, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's Jesus who grants access to the Father in heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way." It's not your works that are the way. It's not your religious duties that are the way. It's not your good living that's the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. Jesus is the one who gives peace with God. You see, the rest is to be found in Jesus. We come to Jesus in the midst of all our restless striving. We receive salvation from him, and all is well with our souls. We have this certain hope of heaven. So if you haven't already come to Jesus, then let me invite you to come to him today. He says in his word, come to me. The invitation is there for you. I suppose the danger is that I keep going on about this morning, but sometimes there are 1,001 things we can sometimes feel that we have to do, even before we come to Jesus. But no, come to Jesus. Come just as you are and receive the salvation that only he can give. I love the story of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, and I want to relay a little bit of it to you this morning. We read this. He began to run, though he could not run fast because of the load on his back, that is his burden of sin. On the top of a hill, he came to a cross, that is the cross of Christ. And just as he got to the cross, his burden came loose, dropped from his shoulders, and went tumbling down the hill. It fell into an open grave. Now Christian's heart was light. He had relief from his burden. He said to himself, he, that is Jesus, has given me rest by his sorrows and life by his death. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Secondly, and more briefly, follow me. Follow me. And here, when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, I believe he is giving an invitation to following him, to becoming one of his disciples. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, it may be that some people in these days, when Jesus was walking on the earth, were a little bit uncertain as to who Jesus was and why they should follow him. After all, he seemed to have just come upon the world scene. Where had he come from? And he wasn't one of those rabbis who had trained at the theological seminary in Jerusalem. I mean, that was where all the top rabbis surely trained for ministry. And he wasn't one of the recognized religious groups. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a Sadducee. But although there was perhaps some uncertainty as to who he was and where he had come from, there was a recognition that he said things that nobody had ever said before. He made claims that no man had ever dared claim before. He spoke with an authority that none of the religious authorities spoke with. And there were these miracles that he kept on performing, which seemed to authenticate his claims, as well as his ministry. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus was not like the scribes and Pharisees, who basically put loads on people's backs and told them to carry them. In other words, Jesus was not like the Pharisees and scribes who kept on saying, go and do. This is how many things you've got to do. Jesus was not like an angry school teacher addressing the pupil for whom nothing was good enough. And they could always do much better. And woe to them if they did not do better. No, Jesus was a teacher that was gentle and humble in heart. You see, Jesus is a shepherd who encourages and inspires and assures. Indeed, one can follow Jesus without any fear of his judgment or his condemnation. My yoke, says Jesus, is easy and my burden is light. Having said that, we must acknowledge that following Jesus isn't always that easy. there are demands and challenges. There is a yoke to bear and there is a burden to carry. As we were singing in one of our songs earlier on in the service. In order to follow Jesus, we must be willing to deny ourselves, to forsake our own lives, so to speak. We must die to self. That's another way that the Bible puts it. We must expect, to one degree or another, if we're going to follow Jesus, to be persecuted. In following Jesus, there are battles to face, battles against Satan and battles against indwelling sin. It's not straightforward following Jesus, but when we follow him, we do so in the knowledge that we don't lose out when we give up things in order to follow him. We don't lose out in this life. We certainly don't lose out in the next. Listen to what Jesus said. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Yes, it's demanding to follow Jesus, but we don't lose out. Yes, it's demanding to follow Jesus. There are trials, there are difficulties along the way. But remember, he's different from the scribes and the Pharisees, for he helps us along the way. He gives grace. He gives strength. There are times of sadness along the way as we follow the Lord Jesus, but he gives comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And isn't it true to say that when we follow Jesus, we do so in the knowledge that he has saved us? And that makes all the difference when it comes to obeying his commands. Listen to what the Apostle John writes in 1 John 5 and verse 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Let me try to give an illustration of this. Imagine a boy meets a girl. And he soon finds out that there are things that she would like him to do with her. She wants them to go out for meals together. She also wants them to go to fashion shows. And in the past, he's been a bit reluctant to spend his money. But he's quite happy to spend his money going out with her for a meal. He's never dreamt before of going to a fashion show. And to be frank, the thought doesn't really appeal to him, but he's keen and willing to go. Why? Because it means going with her, sitting with her for hours on end. You see, he's come to love her and delight in her, and he's willing to go wherever she wants to go. He's even willing to go shopping, can you believe it or not, with her. And I think it's a little bit like that for the Christian when it comes to following Jesus. In the light of all that he has done for us, we love him and we delight in him and we want to please him. We want to do those things that he would want us to do in fellowship with him. As John writes, and his commands are not burdensome. And so this morning, Jesus says, come to me and follow me. Come to me. He doesn't say go and do. He says come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. You've been trying to do all this religious stuff, and you're getting nowhere. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you salvation. It's a gift. It's not something you work for, it's a gift. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not easy following Jesus, but it's a joy and it's a delight. And he gives us grace in order to do the things that he asks of us. Let's pray together.